Welcome to the Painless Flipping Podcast, where we bring on experts in the real estate industry to help you make your flipping journey and your investing journey painless. That's what we want. We want you to be able to take the expert advice that you get from others so you don't have to fail and learn all this awesome stuff on your own. We want you to learn from the experts. So today I have Anash on here, who is from Canada. I just moved here and I'm excited to have him on here because he is an expert. He does rentals. He does the property management. He does it all. So we're going to let him give us his insights and his information on real estate. And Anash, tell us a little bit about who you are for those of you, the audience that don't know who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Awesome. First of all, thanks so much for having me here, Nathan. Looks like I'm probably the first Canadian guest you got. So let me be.
That's
cool.
It.
Awesome. Thanks for the intro. Yeah, like you said, I am very much involved in investor myself. I've involved in property management, and I'm also very deep into how we can automate and scale your property management is where I come from. Funny story of how I got it, but if people ask me, what's your background? I have 5-7 years ago, I'm probably building airplanes. I used to build business aircrafts myself for Bombardier and Airbus, and look what I'm doing now, nothing to do with it. But it's a small side hustle that has changed and got me to really start multiple business within real estate and happen to work with multiple, you know, real estate folks within Canada, US, and now operate business with my software business and the property management business all in Canada, US, and Europe, and Asia as well. So it's pretty much where I'm at. And my whole idea is pretty much to help people to how to scale and automate their business and automate their property rental business and go from there.
That's incredible. So let's dissect that really quick. So you were building airplanes at first. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. By trade or by profession or by my engineering, I'm an aerospace engineer. I used to work for Bombardier. We used to was part of the first build a flight of Global 7000, the first flight we ever built. That's the most expensive business aircraft currently right now. I was part of the team to build that first flight. And happened to work for Boeing and Airbus as well. And but I've got business genes in me. My dad is a businessman. I've seen him as a businessman throughout my life. So I know that, you know, at one point I want to stop working for someone else and start doing something. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to get back to aerospace. Maybe my next business is going to be in aerospace. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But yeah.
Was that a passion of yours to get into that? Or what made you decide to go into that field in the beginning?
It's my passion was manufacturing. I was very fascinated about how these things are built and how heavy manufacturing is happening. So that got me to do into my undergrad in mechanical engineering, and I did my master's here in Canada. I worked in car manufacturing initially, but then I was always very fascinated about bigger machines. So again, I got an opportunity to aerospace, got into that, and you know, it was awesome. You know, you always see airplanes parked in the runway, but you never have to think that you would probably be sitting under it and working and building it on a day-to-day basis. So it was very fascinating and very interesting. If I have to dig deeper, I can go deeper. But then if you ever work in aerospace, next time you will have a hard time sitting inside a flight because you'll be looking at all the wrong things that are going on.
Yeah, I bet. If I'm assuming, I don't know much about aerospace engineering, but I'm assuming you're making good money at the time. So when you went to real estate, was it more about the money, making more money? Was it about the freedom? Like what made you want to go off? Because I'm sure you enjoyed your job and you're making good money. So I guess what made you decide to take the leap out of there?
Yeah, money in aerospace is absolutely great. Like you make a lot of money. Plus it's long hours for sure. It's all hourly. So you make contracts and, you know, you have a lot of consulting in aerospace. It makes a lot of money. I did that for a long time as well. But what really drove me to real estate is essentially my passion to have my own and, you know, flexibility and be my own boss. I like to have my team. I used to lead a team of about 40 plus people in my aerospace. So I have brought in that, and I managed to bring in my manager at that time as my business partner in my current business and all the business I have. So we're doing this together. So I pulled him out, and it's purely that we were doing some side hustles while doing the aerospace job. So our job used to be about 13 to 14 hours a day, and we come back from that, and then we actually it was the COVID time that really got up. We actually helped a lot of students and people who came up here with housing, etc. That was a simple start. There was a lot of folks who was doing Airbnb, did not have no business. A lot of folks who lost jobs during that time. a lot of people sitting at home doing nothing. So we kind of activated all these folks, Airbnb houses, we convert them to good, safe quarantine places. All the folks sitting at home, we made them to cook home food, subscription-based home food. All the folks who have car, made them to pick people from airport and all these things. I put all these together. Wow. We were packing meals and all these things together and sitting in my basement, and we did that. And I think within a year time, we actually ended up helping probably about 6,000 to 7,000 folks doing that. And we made a good money to start our own business. So we didn't have to put a single money to start my business. Oh, and man, what we really learned is that if we manage to do all this after our 13 to 14 hours a day job, it's nothing but passion. It's not just money. We're already making money, which is passion. So that we hung on to it. And then eventually we went up there. I started my property management company first thing. From there, I learned a bunch of things that was missing in the market. It took me off to start my second company. It's a software company. Just talking about is Hailtail. Then I started a cleaning company, a maintenance company. So yeah, I've run multiple companies at this point.
Wow. So let me ask you this. So usually as an entrepreneur, they say to focus on like one thing. You say you run a lot of companies. Are you just great at that? Or do you feel like sometimes if you just focused on one, you would just make one amazingly great? I'm just curious because, you know.
It is a very valid point. And I learned that the hard way the first company I built, which is a property management company, we were growing faster. We were very motivated people, but little we knew that we actually were not making money in that business. Because at the end of the day, we were like, we're inside the business the whole time. We're just, there's rents coming in, rents going out, doing things, etc. But when you look at the yearly balance, like, oh, we did not make money here. We just probably barely broke even, or maybe we're at loss.
Right.
And we were cluelessly like, where did we lose money? Like, looks, we had a great business model to make money coming in, but that's not the case. Some of our properties were burning bad, and some of the properties were okay. Some of the properties were great, and we just did not have visibility. So that's, you know, one thing. So number one thing, I actually listened to a podcast, and that's how I got into the podcast, is that I heard this fact saying you always want to make sure you're on top of a business, not inside a business. That struck me hard. It's like, very true. That's where I am. I am inside my business. I don't know what's happening about my business. I'm not on top. Mm-hmm. And so since that day, every single thing I do, I always think about, am I inside? Am I on top? Am I inside? I'm on top. If I'm inside, I need to get on top of it. So that helped me to get, a good control of my business. And plus making sure that, do I have the right people around me to run my business?
Right.
It's always making, I always like to be the dumb person in the room, and I want to surround myself with the smarter folks. So just essentially what I did, from all my business, managed to bring in smart, motivated folks who can run the business, and I just have to be there to support them.
Perfect.
So
yeah.
I agree, to answer your question, it's always good to focus one, and you make sure that that's streamlined before you jump into one. Next one, because if not, everything's going to crumble together, even though you have a great business.
Wow, I like that a lot. It's like the who, not how concept, right? Like you're trying to find the best people that are motivated and willing to take ownership in of this, you know, the opportunities you give them, right? Because it's really the people that can help you. Try doing all your businesses by yourself. Like you said, you would be in the business and you wouldn't be able to work, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So which one out of all the businesses you have is your favorite?
I am very focused on hands-on right now. My entire focus is on Hailtail right now because I like it, because that's one business out of the time that I had, I was able to scale faster in multiple companies, and it's a tech business. What excites me is that I didn't know anything about tech. I was not a tech person. Like I said, I had engineering background, but we decided to start a tech company with zero knowledge. I am making mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes, burned my hand bad. But thing is that it keeps me awake at night. It keeps me pushing, keeps my adrenaline running, which is what, that's essentially what I think is keeping us pushing. That's what the common thing about it is, that I don't want to do repeatable things. When it's a repeatable thing, then I will get the right person to run that repeat part, and it's good. I want to make sure that I am pushing myself every single day. Like during COVID time, my full-time job, I literally had nothing to do. I pretty much wake up in the morning, turn on my computer, and have all the screens on and all these things, and zero job. Pretty much was playing games on my phone or looking at my investments in my stock market, etc. And I felt like this is waste of talent. I know I have a talent in me and I don't want to waste it. It's easy money. You just turn on the computer, sit in front of it all morning till evening. And the end of the day, you probably have about, end of the month, you probably have about $5,000 to $6,000 check in your bank account. Nothing to do. Just sit and you can do whatever you want.
Is that the property management business you're talking about?
No, it was the full-time, the aerospace job I was talking
about. Okay, that's what you're okay.
Gotcha. Aerospace was dead during COVID. There was absolutely nothing. So we didn't have any job, but the companies cannot lay us off. It's just there's always us. So we have zero work to do.
So then you were like, well, let me side hustle and let's figure out. And that's why you did it. Okay, that makes complete sense. I didn't know if during that time you were busy doing the work. I'm super busy. And then you did all that side stuff. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we started doing the side hustle things just before, a little bit before COVID. And this was the motivation for me to go full time. It was like, I am wasting my talent here. So we already have a site to get going, which is going pretty well. Let's do a full time because that makes sense.
That's a good feeling to have something that is going well. So you're like, hey, let's continue to do this. If we put more gas on the fire, it's going to just explode. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they don't have anything going and they're like, let me go full time. Maybe that will work. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. It's a leap of faith, but you had that proof of concept at least, which is great.
I had this, I think, sorry.
Go ahead.
Thing, and a lot of people actually go through this, and I talk about this quite a lot of time, is that a lot of people look for perfection. Like they all want to start in a perfect way. But over the time running multiple businesses, what I've learned is that start crappy. Like you got to start crappy. It's okay. Nobody's not going to know what you're doing. Nobody would care what you're doing. End of the day, they would care if you're doing well, they will care. No one's going to know if not. Probably your mom, dad, aunt, uncle will know that you're probably doing some crappy job at that. But you're innovating, you're pushing yourself. That's the greatest part. So start crappy and you will find a way to streamline it. And the amount of things that you will learn throughout the way is unbelievable.
Amazing. Amazing. Because look, like me, not knowing you completely well, we've met a couple times before, but I would say, okay, aerospace engineer, super smart, right? Like you, I would say like you can't start anything crappy, right? Just from my thoughts, I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this are like, what? This guy's super smart. There's no way he could fail, right? I'm assuming like that's what some people are going to think, but you're telling me you failed a lot and you had to start crappy in order to learn. Is that true?
I still fail every single of my day. I've no on a problem in admitting that. I still fail. We still make a lot of mistakes. When we started, first of all, when we started the tech company, we didn't know, like, do we hire someone to build our product? Because we know we have a product in mind. We went with some contractors, they built something. We went and designed something completely very great without even doing actual customer interview. And then we all got that and we understood, okay, all this need to go to garbage and, you know, all the money we spent on and time was wasted. When actually had a fresh employee came in, he's like, I can spend 3 months to fix what you already built, or I can spend 2 weeks to build exactly what you build and go from there. What do you want me to do? So that was the reaction. So
yeah,
my simple policy here, or my simple philosophy that I teach myself, or I'm probably going to teach my kids, is that you have to make mistakes. You're allowed to make mistakes. The only thing which puts you different from you and a loser is essentially how you wake up and walk from there. Are you going to walk backwards? Are you going to walk forward? And how well are you going to walk is the only thing that matters. You can make hundreds and hundreds of mistakes. It's okay. And that's what I like podcasts, because, you know, you listen to all these brilliant people who have done amazing things in the world. They share the mistakes they've done. So you don't have to go make the same mistakes that others have done. Go make your own mistake and just avoid all the done mistakes. So that's what I like about podcasts. That's what I like about talking to people.
No, I like that for podcasts as well, because you get a little bit more of the story, get to know a little bit more about what's going on. Do you feel like social media is not detrimental, but it is dangerous, because a lot of times you just see the wins or you see the results versus the journey? Like, because you could right now, you could say, hey, my tech company is doing amazing, and everyone just sees that on a post, but they don't know the full story. So do you feel like sometimes social media can be dangerous because of that, and people are comparing and stuff like that?
It's good and bad, I would say. So that's a good thing. For example, someone sees that, then they're motivated to give it a try. So that's there for sure. But the bad thing is that they think everything is so easy. And if they fail once, what they're going to think is that, oh shit, this is not meant for me. I don't think I have it in me. I got to go back to my full-time job. And they just left. They think others have achieved that in a year or two. And in the first try, that's not the case. So yeah, I just hope the social media is great. I just hope and I love and follow people who actually shows the actual dirty path on the way, the bumpy ride. I love those folks because they're the actual folks who are showing the right reality.
No, I agree. I agree with you because it is true. My journey on entrepreneurship, yours, like it's true. Like no one goes in immediately starts in a super profitable business. I mean, you hire the wrong people. You get shit. You get shafted sometimes on contracts. You think something's gonna turn out and it doesn't turn out the way. So anyway, it's right. I appreciate you being kind of laying that out there for us. So right now in your business, so you're enjoying the tech company and it helps people, you're saying, with their personal property, like own property, and they can just input their properties in there, manage everything from there. Is that what the software does?
So we've got a different approach. We have a customizable software. So, and we focus on, it's meant for everyone, but our bread and butter is focused on people who has, let's say, a portfolio of 50, 60, 100 properties plus.
Okay.
Because those are the folks, there's a lot of bunch of software's great for mom and pops who have about 2 to 3 to 5 properties. It's great. You can do that in spreadsheets also, depending on how good of a time you have or you want to go to a property manager, etc. That's a different case. We focus on folks who have a 50 to 60 plus, because that's when the stage you get to a point where you're past your passion, now you have a business.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just doing a passion work and then sometimes there's a point where, you know what, I'm tired of this, I'm going to go back. I don't think I have a passion here. You get to a 60 to 70 portfolio property, that means you have a legit business. You have done this and you're in repeated mode. Now you need a process and you need a system in place where you can scale. And that system, I was there at that point where I've gone past my passion. Okay, I've got a business. Now what? I couldn't find anything which helped me to streamline my business. And that's the gap I found. And that's what I build as well. So I build my tech company from my own experience and my pain point. And so that's why I could relate. And it's helpful because for me to test my platform, I didn't have to go anywhere else. I just have to use my own business to test it out. And we took my sweet time. It's okay because it helped me to scale my business. And then very recently, we started to sell to other folks.
Do you find it difficult to educate people on how to use the software?
It is there, but you know, when I think about it, there's different kind of people. And our idea is, it doesn't have to be very, very advanced tech. Things can be done in a very simple way. Excel sheets works. A lot of bigger enterprise company runs on Excel sheets. It works great. It's just that you need to have a process in place. Similarly, what we're doing, our approach is not to have a great complicated tech, to have a simple tech, which could be available for anyone who actually kind of could come in and be able to understand the thing. So a learning curve, no matter anything you do, is there, but it's doable. It's not like we see when I myself have tried different softwares and I had a huge learning curve and I had to give up at point, but we see that the learning curve with ours is actually lesser. And again, I'm not just being biased about, you know, my software, but then that's what I see. And we try to make it simpler and easier every single day. I use this example all the time. You know, you have a regular car or you get a Formula One car. If you sit in a Formula One car and if you don't know how to operate the steering wheel of a Formula One car, that's just a piece of iron and sitting in me. You can't perform in that car. That car is going to go slower than a scooter that you own. Yeah. Because you don't know how to run the car. So same thing. You just need to learn a little bit. There's going to be a learning curve in everything, but if you really know what you can do with the software or the device you in front of you, then that's when the game starts really.
I like that. So I'm curious, when you market to your specific avatar, the person that has 50 plus properties to use your software, is that difficult to find those type of people, or how are you finding that avatar to purchase your software?
Majority comes through referral, so it's not really a lot of work for us to look out for folks. So obviously, we do a little bit of outbound reach out, cold calls, all these things are there, but then majority of our leads comes in, you know, referral or inbound. We do a great job in Google SEO works. So all our clients coming from outside country, Asia or Europe, everywhere, it's all inbound. We don't make calls to Europe to get clients. It's all coming to people inbound, finding value in the software, and then they actually come to us. And for us, the only job is essentially to show them what they are looking for. It's the right thing. Sale happens right there. Usually most of my sales happen on the first call or maximum second call.
Is it a monthly subscription or is it a year? Is it a couple? What does it look like?
There's different options. You can do a monthly subscription. I personally recommend everyone to start with the monthly because I want to make sure this is the right product for them rather than them. I want them to make sure. And once they're there, then obviously have an opportunity to lock in a better price for yearly if they want to. I have folks who have been working with us over more than a year to 2 years who's still in the monthly. That works for them. It's fine. It's all about cash flow, et cetera, for them. So it's fine. But you can do monthly, quarterly, yearly, half yearly. It doesn't matter. Be flexible in all ways.
Wow. Well, that sounds like an amazing product. And it sounds like definitely a need that needs to be met. And you said it yourself. You tried to find it when you came to that problem, but you built it because you needed to solve your problem. And that's honestly how most of the greatest businesses are built, right? Because they're there to solve an issue that doesn't exist in the marketplace, right? So
that's what I hear. And I'm facing that path.
That's awesome, man. Well, such a pleasure to not meet you. We've already met, but to dive more deep into your story and what you're doing. It's honestly amazing and inspiring. Where can people find you if they want to just get to know you and if they want to use your platform, where's a good place to reach out to you?
Yeah. So anyone can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Anash Parayal is my LinkedIn. Or you can find me on haletale.com, haletale, haletale.com. You can book a demo there, or you can directly have my direct booking call link as well. Or messages there as well. Chat is very active, and then it's an actual real person replying there. Hmm. So obviously there. So what it means to you, if you're running a real estate portfolio, or you have a property management company, or you're looking to resell a property management software, which is white label to yours. That's where it comes in, and we make it customizable for you. And you should be able to start your business right away rather than building from scratch. And we save you a ton of time and money is what we do. So if you're interested to know about that, feel free. We can talk more and love to know more about your business as well.
Yeah. Man, I love that. Yeah. All right. You heard it here first, people. I know most of the audience is brand new beginners, but once you get up to that level, if you are there, hit them up. And if you're not there, just know that's the journey, right? We're here to most of the people that want to get here. They don't want to just flip at one house. They want to build the wealth and the generational wealth. They want to keep going. So, you know, this is Anash is a good, resource to have.
Well, I want to add up there quickly is that even if you're starting out, we still have plans available for people who have one to prove property. Actually, one property is free to use. You can completely use a software for free. So even if you're managing one to two properties, you can start it. We have a small plan for small folks because people who are investing and starting investment today, they're the folks who are becoming a bigger property manager or investor tomorrow. So be very mindful about not omit that part. So anyone is welcome. It's just that when you need a customization, that's when you actually get there. But our idea is to get you to that spot the earliest possible.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. That if you have one rental or two, he's got you. He's got your back. He's got you taken care of. All right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with? Any advice or anything before we wrap up?
The only thing which I would say is that if you're thinking of starting a business or investing or wherever you are at the point of life you are, start it. Don't plan. Don't make a little plan. Start and plan parallelly. Don't just make a plan and then go back to your 9-to-5. If you have the faith in yourself, do it. Believe in yourself enough. You are enough.
Hey, let's go. I love that. It's true, everybody. Believe in yourselves. Anybody can do this. If me and Anash are here chatting, you can do it too. So talk to you guys later. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And Anash, I appreciate you being on with me. All right.
Thanks for having me, Nathan. Cheers.
Of course.
Hey, everybody. What's up? It's Nathan Payne. And for the first time ever, we just released this insane training bundle that has literally everything that I've learned from doing a combined 4,000 deals in real estate, all from starting with absolutely no previous business background experience or any real estate experience. Plus, there's over $19,000 worth of free gifts that we're throwing in all for an insanely low, low price. If you want to get your hands on this, be sure to click the first link on the description below right now.